Again, good to see everybody this morning. Appreciate all the kids and teachers that go downstairs with them. And wanted to somewhat sticking with our subject, I guess to say. Wanted to try to understand and spend a little time I guess this is more for me, but trying to understand where the disciples may have gone during after Jesus' resurrection, and maybe those days in between that and Pentecost. And, we'll be picking up in Matthew 28. We'll start there. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Now that part we touched on at the end of last Sunday, but wanted to try to understand it a little bit more, and wanted to compare some of the other scriptures. And I'll be honest with you, there's just some of those that I have some difficulty with, and I'm not going to weigh into this morning. I recognize there's, as me and Brother Jeff talked earlier this week, when you try to compare the four Gospels, and I will not say there's a contradiction. There's something that is being told from four different perspectives. As Brother Jeff puts it, is if there was something sitting in the middle of the room and all four Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was around that, and then they would give a different account. There's different angles. There's different things that's being seen. There's different ways that they would communicate this. And then there's different time frames that you have to understand that. When you read Matthew's account, when you read Mark's and Luke's and John's, if we were to say that it doesn't line up, I don't think that's right. I don't think we need to be portraying that. I believe the gospel has been left for us, and I believe it to be perfect. And if we start to see something that doesn't line up, we got to start changing our thinking. We have to make, we don't have to make it fit. You need to understand that there's different things there and different angles that we've not considered if it doesn't appear to line up. So some of those things I wanted to try to consider, but I most certainly don't want to bring out something that would be controversial. I'm not at that level to handle that just yet. But I guess my thought was is me and Weston went hunting about two Saturdays ago, and I can absolutely say it was a luck shot. We were able to get us a turkey. I believe the Lord gave us that turkey. And I say that because a 3.5-inch shell shooting out of a 500 Mossberg, which is about the basic turkey gun you can buy from Walmart, and 62 yards away, and this turkey ended up falling. My gun jams up, and Weston had to go down there and finish him off with a 410. So we was able to get that bird. And as we cleaned that bird, we found about two shells that may have been two little shot that may have been the kill shot, and I don't know that the bird didn't have a heart attack. So it was one of those type hunts. So now I tell you that just to kind of break in. When he and I was recounting how that hunt went down, we came back to the house, and he made it in the house before I did. Well, he started telling Heather all about the hunt. Well, and then on the way home from the hunt, we'd come by Barry's house, and well, they had to have been 8 or 10 turkeys out there right next to the road. As we come by, we got over the rise. And I let Weston out, and he slid up underneath the fence and walked down down to the woods and come back up the hill, and he was trying to get them to come, but that was another hunt there. Well, by the time he and I got home, and his stories and my stories were intermixing, and Heather was hearing about two different hunts and two different shots that had happened, and birds just all over the place, even though both of us was there, I mean, and both of us shot this turkey, she was completely confused as to where it was the bird was shot, had no idea who made the shot. She knows both of us had shot, but she said, "Now, wait a minute." Because I came in, I said, "Well, I shot." She said, "Well, now, Weston, you told me you shot the bird and killed him." I said, "Well, that's a true statement." He did. He was still, the bird was still flopping when I left him, you know. So I say all of that after kind of going through that, and then you're trying to look at these Gospels that may have been written somewhere to the tune of, I think some will report that some of these may be up to 100 years, a couple of hundred years difference as to whenever they were actually physically written down. And then to take four different accounts, I couldn't imagine four of us being there and at the time that bird was shot. I can't imagine the stories that would have came out and how that would have been confusing to somebody, but yet knowing that every bit of it could have been 100% factual. And I hope that hadn't confused anybody, but that really allowed me to understand it just a little bit better, that when you're trying to read Matthew's account, and you might read some of Mark's and Luke's and John of these things, and also that there's little time frames that may have been left out there, and it, not purposely, just one seemed to be fit that needed to be put into the story, and the others maybe not. But the point that I wanted to get to here in Matthew was, well, there in the 7th is where he said, "He goeth before you into Galilee." And we talked about last week, from Jerusalem, that's going to be somewhere around 60 to 70 miles north of Jerusalem. That's a pretty big journey. And then, well, we'll continue reading here. And it said, "And there shall you see him, lo, I've told you." That was finishing the 7th. "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'All hail.' And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, 'Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me.'" So when Jesus says that, mine's written in red, I'm sure yours is too, I believe wholeheartedly he met them in Galilee. Regardless if that was not mentioned in another gospel, I know he's there. So if I read that other gospel and they don't mention that, then I have to try to figure that out. And I hope that the Lord will show me one day what it is that I'm not fully understanding right now. But someday he may reveal that unto us. But as of right now, I'm going to take his word that he was there. And that's where he's going to meet these disciples. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest, and all the things were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, 'Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you.' So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." So we see that they made it there, doesn't it? "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, 'All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.'" So we read that. We talked about the point there in 28 and 7. Where he talked about that they would go into Galilee, and in 28 and 10, Jesus said they to go into Galilee. And 28 and 16 said there, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Now, when you think about Galilee as a region, like I said, is much north from Jerusalem there. And then you have the Sea of Galilee. And then it has another name as well, and we may get into that. But let's go to John chapter 20. And again, we touched on this just a little bit last week, but we're going to maybe go into a little bit more detail. We'll pick up along about the 19th verse. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, blessed art thou that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now starting the 21st chapter, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. That Sea of Tiberias is still the Sea of Galilee. It's just from a different angle. Galilee's the region, but Tiberias is a town kind of towards the south side on the western, on the west side of what would be the Sea of Galilee. And it has, it's basically the same thing. And we know this, if we go to John 6, just flip back a few chapters, we're going to read 1 through 4. John 6. Says, after these things went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were deceased. That is diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? So the main part there to get out of 6 is 6 and 1, where it says that Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. So they had made it up there. And then now, going back to John 21 and 3, we hit on this before. Brother Jeff preached on it, and I think done a fine job, and it kind of opened up our thoughts here as he talked about Peter went and he wanted to go, and he wanted to get out and kind of do what the Lord had asked him to do, but he also was dealing with the fact that the Lord is now gone. And he was supposed to raise, and he wanted to believe, and he believed that he was raised, but he hadn't seen him, according to this account. But he says that in 21 and 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now, this sounds very familiar to another time in Peter's life, doesn't it? And we may back up to that here in just a little bit, but recognize that they have traveled from Jerusalem. They are now up into Galilee, and where did the Lord find Peter and Andrew? Where did he find what would be the next two apostles? Would have been the sons of Zebedee, James and John. Found them all right there together, didn't he? What were they doing? They were fishing. So I put this together like, sometimes you just want to go back to where you first met the Lord. And sometimes when you've not felt Him in a while, you think, well, I'll go to this place. That's where I found Him before. And I believe, I may be missing it, but I believe that's why Peter went fishing. He was following what the Lord had told him to do, to go into Galilee, and he gets up there. Well, now he's waiting. He told him to go into a mountain, is what it said. But so we know the mountains that are there close there in Galilee, I believe, just off to the side there. And I believe he would have went fishing because that's where the Lord had found him beforehand. Let's see if we can go back and find that. Matthew 4. And 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, which we just said was the same as Sea of Tiberias, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. That's Matthew account. Now Mark 1 and 16. We'll go ahead and pick up that account as well. Mark 1 and 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. Now, some may say, I think this was closer to Capernaum, maybe more up north than where Tiberias is. I get that. But understanding that this Sea of Galilee is not a sea that, well, I'll give you the facts and you tell me what you think. The greatest tip to tip, north to south of the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles. West to east in its breadth is 7 miles. Its depth is 141 feet deep. That's 64 square miles. Now, it was one large body. So if we were to compare that to something like Dale Hollow over here, Dale Hollow is only 43 square miles compared to this at 64 square miles, but it's way yonder. It got more shoreline because of its real narrow, and it's basically creeks. It's all connected and one deeper hole of water. So size-wise, length-wise, Dale Hollow would be much longer than what the Sea of Galilee is if you were to go even from Kentucky's side down into the south side. I know some of y'all have been over that lake a little bit. I've been fortunate enough to spend a little time on there. You can get lost in a lot of them creeks, especially at night. So it's a pretty good-sized place. But now the Sea of Galilee is one large body. So if you compare that to Lake Michigan, I don't know if any of you's ever been up that way, but the west side is in between Illinois and Wisconsin, and then on the other side of the lake, that's Michigan, and then Michigan goes up into what they call the UP, the Upper Peninsula that stretches over, but along that western side of the state, that's Lake Michigan. And to give you a size comparison, that one's 307 miles by 118 miles. That's compared to the 13 miles by 7 miles. I mean, so this is a Sea of Galilee, but it's not that it's that big. But their boats probably don't meet the same size of boats as what we run up and down the lake with today, and most certainly what you'd see out on Lake Michigan. You don't see many 16-foot boats or 18-foot boats on Lake Michigan. Even on a fair day, the water's white-capping, and you'll get in trouble if you don't know how to handle a boat pretty well. But taking that into account, even if Peter and Simon and all of them were from up north a little bit on that sea, they would have most certainly known that sea line, and I believe they would have probably trolled that as far as they could have whenever they were fishing at times. So he knows the area would be an understatement, I guess is what I'm getting at. Any thoughts on any of this? And I may be rushing past the point here, but
you were talking about difference in the Gospels. I think if everyone said the exact same thing, there would be a whole lot lost here. We could learn so much more with four different views of things. I know we're inspired of God, but if someone asked any of us to recap the revival that I was blessed to be with y'all in, we would all have different things that stood out to us.
Yep. Amen.
And to have them all come together is it's so much more enriching.
Amen.
And as far as the names of things, I follow the Civil War song. And it's a little confusing because you can have a battle that they waged somewhere. The North called it one thing, the South called it another. And they didn't call it the same battle.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and I think it's a lot the same thing.
Yeah. Amen. Good point. Thank you. Amen. Well said. Well said. We'll go ahead and pick up Luke's account, if y'all don't mind indulging me that. We'll go to Luke 5, and we're going to read 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. This is the same lake. Although it has another name, but it's the same lake, or the same sea. And in the Old Testament, it had another name beyond that. I didn't write it down. I probably should have. But in the Old Testament, just like what Brother David was saying, that was it was there. It's always been there. But just different names and things like that. But this is of the same. They refer to it as a lake here, which honestly kind of fits our terminology a little better. As far as it being a sea, they call it a sea, but it's a small one. And Saul, two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and fulfilled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. This was when Peter met the Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, and at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. These men were partners. They had a business together. They were fishermen. It doesn't mention Andrew being part of that. It says Peter was, and then the two brothers. And then as they follow the Lord, it seems that they just left their ships there, left their boats there. Now, did they leave that in care of someone? I believe that they did. I believe it would have been a fine chance that Zebedee himself possibly was taking care of those for 3 years, 3.5 years, while they followed the Lord? So when they got the opportunity to go back, and Peter missing the Lord, looking for him to come, I have no doubt that that's the reason why. I don't know that he didn't go to Zebedee at that point and say, well, where's my boat? I want to go fishing. I want to see if the Lord will meet me one more time. He said he's coming up this way. I'm going to go fishing and see if he shows up. Now, I can't prove all of that last part, but I know without a doubt he was a fisherman. I know he had a boat and he owned one, and it was there on that lake or on that Sea of Galilee that was only 13 miles long. So if I'd go up into Suffer Fork there on Dale Hollow and I left a boat there for me to bring that thing down to Horse Creek, it wouldn't take very long, and I'd be from Kentucky down to the farthest side of, or closer to Sline as I could be, and I'd come near to think that'd be about 13 miles. So it wouldn't take very much to got that boat from Capernaum down there to Tiberias, I guess is what I'm getting at. Any thoughts on any of that?
One of these things, I mean, it's actually different accounts as well.
Amen. You
know, Ian called here the other night about the, she couldn't understand this, the account of Luke, where they was down there, and it was over there referred to as the lake of Gennesaret or whatever, and then you go over into John. That was a whole different account. Mm-hmm. Over in John was after the resurrection, and it was up there at the Sea of Tiberias, which I don't know. I hadn't looked it up, but I've always been under the impression that this Tiberias was maybe like a little village, and Gennesaret maybe a little village, as both on the shoreline of the Lake of Galilee. But what Leanne sort of had was this. One issue here over in Luke's was before the resurrection, but that was a whole different account. If you read it real closely, you know, one place the nets didn't break, but then you go over in John's account, you know, when they saw him in, the nets even broke. It was two different, if it's two different accounts. And in a sense, amen, speaking to me, it was almost a reminder to them after the resurrection, you know, yes, you're catching fish, but I've called you big fishers of meat. It's almost a confirmation to them that I'm going to make you fishers of men. And I think it was really encouraging to them.
Amen. You know?
But all that, like you were saying, really can get confused, and if you don't understand it, maybe it's different events, as well as, like you're saying, you come in at different angles with it, but it all fits. And the thing's always been hard for me. I want to make it fit, but I've always said it's like a piece of puzzle. If that one little ear doesn't fit in there, you can't make it. Because if you make it fit that, you're going to mess the picture up somewhere else.
Amen.
It's got to work. And it takes a lot of digging sometimes.
Amen.
To put it together, doesn't it?
Amen.
Confusing.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. Like y'all talked about there in John in 21 there, that was after the fact. They were supposed to go, as Matthew said there, In 28, that's where they was going to meet him. After the resurrection, they had to go that 70 miles north to find the Lord there. And then all the accounts that we just read there in Matthew 4, Mark 1, and Luke 5, that was all when they were first asked to be disciples of the Lord, when they were supposed to leave everything there behind and follow the Lord. So for 3 to 3.5 years, they did that, didn't they? And then now we're back in John. And this little map I've got, it kind of keeps my bearings about me, but all of these towns that we just mentioned, whether it be Capernaum or Gennesaret or down there in Tiberias, they're all coastal towns right on the left side of Sea of Galilee. Capernaum being more north, let's say around the 10 o'clock range, if you were to say that, and then Gennesaret being at about 9 on the clock face, and then Tiberias being down here around 7. So that would have been, you know, the three little towns. So if you were to be from Capernaum, you'd probably refer to that as, you might have even said it was the Sea of Capernaum. Yeah. And then, but to say that it was the Sea of Galilee makes more sense because it was all up against Galilee. So if you were to want to pinpoint it, you would get down closer to those areas Just like on Dale Hollow, we refer to where the marinas are. It's all referred to as those marina locations. You wouldn't say, well, I was on Dale Hollow. Yeah, but I've looked for the last 4 hours and I can't find you. What boat dock are you at, right? So you got to get it a little closer to that coastline and kind of. So I think that was where they were going there. But yeah, good point. Anything else? Any other thoughts on that? Again, kind of going back to 21 in John, 21 and 3, we may just pick up there and read for a little bit. It said, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Now, who was he talking about there? Go back to the second, and you'll see the sons of Zebedee there was mentioned. So, of course, they're going to be all for it. That's where their business was too. They were there with Peter in that. So, yep, we're going fishing with you. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Now, it doesn't say that it was theirs, but very well could have been. But they went into a ship, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find it. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And I love how Brother Jeff had taught us on that, and he was so excited to see the Lord that he left the boat behind. He's already done it once. He left it for 3.5 years. I don't care about the boat now today. Yeah. Even care less about material things today, Brother Josh, than we did a few months ago. Leave those things behind. Who cares?
Amen.
Go find the Lord. Said, for he was naked and had cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid there in bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Like what Brother Barry said there earlier, different accounts, the nets broke beforehand, but they didn't break this time, did they? Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Now, we recognize from earlier teachings that some of us that come on Wednesday night, Brother Jeff handled this a few, was that last year, last season, somewhere around in there? But you taught us on that. And he talked about it back in Job and talked about that when they went into the tomb, all they found was the linen that was there. There wasn't a body there. He preached on this last week. The body was gone. But these men aren't recognizing this body. This body has been raised and it's been changed, and it does not and cannot look the same, just as when our body, this flesh will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But he's going to change that flesh somehow or the other, and it may not be recognizable. Evidently his wasn't. Every account you read in there, after his resurrection, he even walked with two of the disciples, and he was even asking them what had happened, and they just assumed he didn't know anything of Jesus or the resurrection, and they're talking to Jesus. They are not recognizing this man. But as soon as these works had happened, then they recognized him, didn't they? Whenever he told them to come and dine, and none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And didn't have to include that last part, but I think from no doubt from the time that Jesus had resurrected, I believe Peter's faith was even strengthened that much more. And I believe from this point on, it was certainly strengthened that much more. We see him in the book of Acts being much more strong and bold in the faith than what we ever see him in the Gospels. So we know that resurrection is what had changed this man. He knew without a doubt that the Lord was the Messiah, didn't he? Any thoughts this morning?
There's a question, I guess, about the nets. Is that what you were just talking about?
Well, we touched on it a little bit.
Like where one, I mean, you know, everything in here obviously has a purpose and meaning. So it broke the first time, but it didn't break the second time.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, the first account, I think Brother Barry touched on that just a little bit. But the first account was when he had first met them there at the seashore, and he was calling them to be disciples and to follow after him. And then the second time was after the resurrection, some 3.5 years or so there had gone by. And then it was a different account.
But I mean, like you're saying, because they were stronger after,
you want to handle that again?
I'm asking, would there be a reason why it broke the first time and the second time? I don't know.
There's a purpose.
That's what I mean.
One way, one picture the other. And so there's going to be a purpose.
I'm just digging in there a little bit.
There's a reason it's 153 fish, but I haven't figured it out.
I
was running over my head then. It's still trying to figure it out. There's a reason for that.
I've always, I looked at it here last week, 153 feet. There's something there for that. There's always more to it than just what you see in face value. Everything has got some kind of picture, especially the Old Testament. Everything in the Old Testament is pointing to something.
To come, amen.
That's coming. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he's the one got me started looking at that stuff. Brother David did, is when he was my pastor. Everything he's got is a point towards Christ, his church, or something. And so sometimes we see them and sometimes we just don't. And I don't know why that when he first called them out, the nets broke. Is it because when he first called them out and they were just fishing? And then he made them fishermen of men. And after he made them fishermen of men, they didn't look at the fish. I believe the fish after the resurrection is a picture of the ones that they caught preaching the gospel. Or he caught. They was throwing the net out and he was catching. And he didn't lose none. So that's a more of a picture of when they come on the shore, when we get on the shore, we're going to die. We're going to go
amen.
Down with it.
Amen.
And our works is going to follow with us. So the works that we've done along the way, they brought the net behind them and it was full of fish and they didn't lose none. Our works follow with us. And so all that's a picture there. But before, at that time, he said, come and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And after he made them fishers of men, then when they got there, they didn't lose them. Go ahead. That probably didn't make a difference.
No, it did. Yeah. I just thought that, I know there's has to be significance in the fact that it mentions
it
the first
is.
Time the net broke, this time after it didn't break.
You know,
I just wanted you to tell me why.
Still waiting for that, brother.
But the temple, in a sense speaking, was a shadow of what was to come. In the book of Haggai, when he was comforting the ancient men that had seen the first temple, and they began to weep when they saw the foundation laid of the lateral, he told them, he said, what he's basically doing was comforting them. He said, the glory of the lateral house is going to be greater than the first. Because, What the prophetic thing really was, he was saying the glory of the Lord, the church, was going to be greater than the shadow and temple. And, you know, that first net, you could sort of look at it, broke. I mean, it was done away with.
Amen.
But then the one after the resurrection, the church,
amen.
You know, he said that even the gates of hell.
Well, I see.
I don't know if that's so good.
I like where you're going with it.
Amen. It could be a picture of the church that, church ain't going to break.
Amen.
It ain't promised it'll be right here.
That's right. That's right.
But it'll be somewhere.
Amen.
It's
amen.
Not so badly a drive home that we've been looking at. You can get a bunch of different things out of that deal. And so you just pick
amen.
I believe Jesus was taken back the first time when they forsook their nets, followed him after the resurrection. He says, if you love me, feed my sheep, feed the lambs. He was telling them, this is what you got to be doing now.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to give up your fishing, and you've got to be about my business. And I think that's what he was. I think he was rebuked there somewhat.
Man, I could see that. Anyone else got questions for these three brothers? If not, y'all consider yourself dismissed this morning.